Hi. 143.
I love you.
I love you.
Did you know that 143 was I love you? Do you know what
he doesn't
know
that because he doesn't know about pager codes.
Oh my God, let's talk about it after. But let's first introduce Shiri Appleby, who is here with us today.
She knows about pager codes.
She knows about pager codes. Another LA born and raised local.
Yeah. And her husband is John of John and Vinny's.
Rob is super excited because it's the best food. And you know her from Roswell, Unreal. I mean, so many things. But she joins us today. So let's invite Shiri.
Sometimes when the feels insane, you can take a little peek inside of Rachel's little brain. All these thoughts are swirling round and round inside. To join us on this journey as we take a little ride. We'll talk about dogs and kids and things. We'll talk about chicks and tampon strings. We'll talk about boys and 'cause people die.
Hi.
Hi, hi you guys.
Hi.
Hi.
We're so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
For coming. We've been in the same orbit, I feel like, forever. But you guys actually know each other.
Yeah, we share a mutual bestie.
We do.
We were in her wedding.
That's right.
We were
right.
In the same wedding.
That's right. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
We have a mutual bestie, Wells Butler, who's just the greatest.
I know Wells,
too.
She's
the greatest.
Yeah,
she's
the best.
I laughed so much with her.
Me too.
Yeah. Such a nice too. Friendship.
That was when her wedding was a long time ago.
Dude. That was a messy wedding for me.
What do you mean? Oh, you were still drinking?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think like me and Veronique got in a fight that night.
It was like a
thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't remember. That never came. It never filtered its way all the way to me. I didn't experience that.
No. I hope Wells didn't either. I think we go back even further because I feel like you went to school with my first boyfriend.
Who's that?
Ollie Goldstein.
Sure, Ollie Goldstein.
Yeah.
We went to middle school and high school together.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Somebody mentioned him the other day and I like tried to look him up on Instagram. And
he's there.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
Ollie Goldstein.
Yeah.
Later, tell me what's going on with him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Ollie Goldstein, if you're out there, we want to know
how you're doing.
Yeah, we went to Calabasas High School together.
Yeah.
I remember.
You're also a local like us, like grew up here.
I grew up in LA, the best.
Were you born and raised here?
Yep, I grew up in the Valley.
Same.
Yep, I loved the Valley. I loved living in LA. I still really very much love living in LA.
Yeah, which I feel like you don't hear often.
People loving living in LA or people being from LA?
Well, both.
Both. I think I always think about the people that came to move here.
Right.
That I can't really wrap my head around. Like, that seems like such a big, leap.
Yeah.
Even people that left where their hometown is, because I've never left, that seems like radical to me.
Right.
And I like going to the beach.
Yeah.
So LA has a beach. And so I like that. And I like having a city lifestyle. So it kind of is checking a lot of boxes.
Do you actually go to the beach though?
We go to the beach like every weekend.
You do?
Yeah. Oh my God. My husband would be so happy if
I just
he had
was
you.
Like, I, no, my husband was like very like digging his heels into the ground. And I was just like, this has been my lifelong dream. And like, I'm in the midst of my life. My life is not going to slow down. So we're just doing it and we just do it. We pack up the car, we go. My son's learned to surf.
No way.
They have like friends that they have out at the beach on the weekends and you're like just in nature.
Amazing.
So that when you come back to the city on Monday, you're like, let's go to baseball, let's go to karate, let's do all of our activities because on the weekend we're just going to slow down.
So I need to know how this goes because literally that's my husband's dream. Every weekend he's like, can we go to the beach? I'm like,
every day.
It's freezing every day.
But it's not really that cold once you get out there and there's like pretty hikes and there's like not like amazing restaurants but not terrible restaurants.
Yeah.
But just sitting on the beach and decompressing as a family and like bringing a kite or bringing a football and like walking. It's just and like seeing like the kids learning the tides and like what's happening with like nature and where are the males migrating and let's take a beach walk and collect shells. Like that's really great time with no screens. And the next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Yeah. And the kids have been outside.
I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to meet
there
you there.
There you go.
Come. No, but like to actually do it, I'm just really in awe of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm the opposite. So like I'm like mountains, right?
Sure.
So like yesterday we went on a hike and it's a waterfall hike and it's like—
Beautiful.
Maybe it's even half a mile in. Definitely not more than a mile, but it's easy.
Yeah.
We do it all the time and then you're out there and you're like, oh, the kids are in nature.
Yeah,
like,
they love yeah. it. We didn't go to the beach last week because my husband's out of town. I took the kids on a walk too out and like in the woods and you're like, I just need to get out of the traffic. And LA has a lot of these hikes. It has a lot of that stuff, but you just have to like go to it. Like you have, it takes effort to find it.
I loved Unreal.
Oh
my God. Love.
Binged that.
That's nice.
Oh, me too.
I needed time that alone. I was like, I want to watch. Yeah. Like, I loved it.
That was like my airplane download binge show. I was also like, I like watch the Bachelor franchise. Like,
oh, you do?
I used to. I've kind of fallen off.
Yeah.
So I was so excited when your show was coming. I was like, oh my God. And what a fun.
It was so fun.
It was so good. Oh my God. It looked like it.
It was so fun to make.
I was like,
it could be so creative. Oh, yeah. That was be a fun. It was a fun show to make. And it was fun because, like, the cameras could see each other. So there was, like, no rules in terms of, like, what you're shooting. And you could have, like, three Steadicams going at the same time. Like, a Steadicam's, like, a camera that guys are wearing. And so, like, you could shoot everything at one time because all the cameras could see each other.
That's
and nothing
so cool.
was off limits. And we were just literally shooting like all night long, every night outside. It was just like steamy. And then every year, the great thing, which Rachel, you'll know, is like if you do a lot of seasons of show with the same cast, sometimes it can get kind of stale. But every year it was like all new actors.
Right.
And like all new relationships and all new dynamics. So it really felt fresh every season.
Yeah.
And the part was she was like nuts. And like, she was so fun to play. So I had really, and that's when they let me start directing. So then there was like even so more cool. to like just take on and get engaged in.
Yeah. Was that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah. But when I started acting when I was three, I didn't see a woman. I said that, but it's true. My parents put me in showbiz when I was 3 years old.
I get it.
But I didn't see a woman on set until the very last episode of Roswell. I made 65 episodes of that show. And then on the very last episode, a woman walked on set. And I was like, what?
What's she doing?
A woman could do this?
Oh, wow.
I've been working since I was three. I've never seen a woman.
A woman director.
And I would go to editing during lunch on Roswell just because I was like really interested in the process. Yeah. And it was 10 more years before I saw another woman.
10 years between?
10 years.
10 more years.
Oh my God.
Were you looking?
And then we were just like, there was only one. Like, was that an accident? And she also came on the very last episode. So even if, you know, the whole gig on TV directing is like, you want to get asked back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But they brought her on for the last one. So there were no more episodes to come back to get asked back to do.
Right.
So I never saw her again.
Wow.
And then it was 10 more years. And then I was like, and then that woman had to have a male director on set watching her.
What?
Did it have to be a male?
To make sure she didn't screw up.
Wait, how many years ago was this?
This was 14 years ago. And so then I started shadowing like crazy because then I was like, and then everywhere I went to try to go get a job, places that I had worked before, like CW and ABC Family, they were like, sorry, we can't hire you.
Why?
Like, they were like, we won't be able to hire you. The best thing you can do is go get a TV show on the air and make it a hit.
And direct
it. And then direct you can direct. It. So I shadowed like crazy. I shadowed like 10 times and I took it so seriously.
Yeah.
I was there every single day of prep, every day of shooting, every day of post, like 10 times.
Yeah.
So by the time I did the pilot for Unreal, I was like, I'm literally here for a directing job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing will be a hit.
Good for you.
And if on the pilot, I was like, I have to get an episode. And so when the second season, the show came out, it was like Peabody winning. Everyone got nominated. I was like, I'm getting an episode.
It took to the second season though.
Well, the first season of the show, I had to make the show a hit.
Okay, so your job
was
just to make
it a hit. That was my job, was like, get it a
hit. Just get it.
I have to make it a hit. And then I was like, I have to have an episode. So then I got one in the second one, I got one in the third one, and then the second season, they gave me two, including the series finale.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So then I like had four, but it was sort of like having none because it's you're directing on the show that you're starring in.
Yeah, so you're
so they don't
split focus.
So the Hollywood sort of looks at it like that's nepotism.
Oh,
they're
got
just
it.
Making you happy.
Got it. Got it. Oh, wow.
It's fun.
So it was just more like, I am going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am going, because like, I didn't choose to be an actress.
You didn't choose that at three?
I don't know if your kids choose anything, but the only thing my three-year-olds were choosing was candy.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. TV. Just yeah. kidding. So, that was the thing I was choosing. So I was just like, okay, if that's the obstacle, I have to figure out how do I beat this obstacle?
Which I think is part of life.
That's it.
You know?
You can't get upset like, about it. It is what it is.
We all have our obstacles we have to choose into. And like, good for you that you made a choice and actually made it happen. Now, which do you prefer?
I mean, they're both amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really amazing. Like directing, especially when you direct certain actors in certain scenes, you're like, oh man, I wish I was doing that. Like, why am I not doing right? that? I should be in that scene.
Mm.
And sometimes on set, you like hear that they're casting a part. You're like, well, I'm free after this episode. If you guys, you know, but like, I don't like going on the road for 4 or 5 months at a time and leaving my family yeah. on a TV show. And you have to sign a contract for 6 years. So that's like just not in the cards for me right now.
Yeah.
And I like to have a little bit more control. I had a really hard time with people touching me all day.
Oh,
like that really became like annoying to me. And like, I want to get my own cup of tea. I don't want you to like just try to keep me in a cage and like bring me things. Like,
yeah.
I want to be my own person sort of floating around. And I've been doing it for so long that right. I'm like, I know how I want this to look. I know how I want this to feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to create a vibe on set. I know how to make my day. Like, I want to be the person in charge as opposed to being like, man, I can't believe this person's going to keep us here for 15 hours. And what are they shooting? And the tone's off. And like,
yeah,
I want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say like when I have worked with actor directors, right? Like not, I mean, and there's obviously fantastic directors that are just directors. But like there's like another understanding, like, you know, the communication and just being on both sides of the camera, you're just able to kind of.
Like, we're speaking another language.
Right.
Right? You and I are speaking another language. And I'm like, hey, can you make it like...
Yeah.
And like, that makes no sense to any other human. But you're like, yeah, I got that. And you're like, okay, turn the camera on. She got it. And
right.
Rachel, give me another one. Just pick up the pace. And like, it's done. And now we're moving on.
Right.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But it's like, if you're going to go over there and start talking about the technical, I need an 8 hat on the jib on a thing. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but just like make it shoulder high and like make it look good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like another language. I am loving it, though. I am, like, loving directing. I feel like I've kind of just started my whole life over.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like I haven't even started my career yet.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't even started.
Wow. So that's just your main focus. It's just directing right now.
Yeah. It's very hard to be an actress right now.
Yeah.
Just want to say.
When is it?
It's
when
really
is it
hard.
Not,
but yeah, my whole focus right now is directing. Like, my hustle is like directing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I got off Unreal and I was just like, I'm just going to put that to bed.
Wow.
Put acting to bed in general?
Pretty much. Unless somebody asks me to do something or like, I like making an audition tape just to still act.
Right.
And like, if I get the job, great. But I'm not like calling my agent about that every day. I'm calling my agent every day about like, what's going on? Did you submit me? You know, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. My hustle's directing.
What about it is hard for you right now? What is
To be an actress? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know because I'm not really fully in the hustle of it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as Rachel just said, like it's never that easy. And they're very small boxes you're trying to put yourself in. And like, if there's not that many boxes casting that fit you, like, there's just not that much opportunity.
Right.
And like, I want to go to work every single day. I want to work Monday through Friday. I want to wrap a show on Friday. I want to start a new show on Monday. Mm-hmm. I want to make one movie a year for the next 20 years. Like, I don't want to stop working.
Right.
And so if I'm looking for a tiny, tiny window of like, she needs to be 5'2", brown hair, kind of cute, da-da-da. Like, where are those parts? Unless I'm writing them
myself. Unless you're writing them.
Right.
It's very hard.
And then, but you also touched on like not wanting to, like you said, pick up and go and leave your family. And it's really, you know.
But maybe in 10 years when my kids are in college, I will want to do that.
Right.
So then how do I keep myself in the game for the next 10 years so that when my kids are gone, I'm like, all right, put me on a show and let's go to Budapest and he's coming and we're going in 6 months and now I've got a statue and like, that's great. I can't do that right now.
No,
right.
I know.
So I'm just curious because I know the feeling of always like, whenever you see something that you know you're capable of doing, right?
Yeah.
And someone else is doing it. So when you're directing,
yeah,
and you see someone act and you're, yeah, thinking, ooh, I wish I was doing that. And then you're acting and you see someone direct and,
yeah,
you're like, ooh, I wish I was doing that.
Yeah.
Does that ever go away for you? Are you ever in the zone on one thing,
oh, sure,
at a time?
Most of the time when I'm directing, I'm not thinking, you're, I want to be thinking in that scene.
Yeah.
I'm not. And the fun part is being like watching the performance and then giving the note and you're like, oh man, they did it so much better than I would have done it.
Right.
Right? Or they're crushing that. That little thing made all the difference. I would say even maybe one job out of 10 jobs, I'm thinking, 10 full jobs, like in a jobs a month,
yeah,
where there's one scene in that whole entire experience that I'm like, I wish I was in that scene. It's like so, right,
it's so
rare.
Minuscule compared, yeah, to the, yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
I'm rarely,
yeah,
like, I'm just like walking around, I'm like hustling, I'm moving, and digital. I'm never thinking about when I'm acting, I'm like, man, I would really like to be directing this. Mm.
You feel that stronger.
Yes. But then certain people you watch acting, you're like, man, that shit looks fun. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That happens a lot. And I always am like, oh, directing would be so cool. But then like just like the technicality behind it and,
yeah,
like that other, not the creative side, but the other side, I'm always so intimidated by.
Sure. I was too.
But you hire the right people.
No, but you have,
right,
to know.
You,
no,
have to,
no,
know.
You,
no,
have to know because you have to know because you also have to know how you're walking on set and what they're looking at you at. Like,
of course,
you were or are an actress that is now walking on set, and you better know exactly,
you,
what you're doing,
right,
because if not, they will run right over you.
Right. Yeah. So that's the shadowing, you, like crazy.
Shadowing. What is a shot list? How do I build a,
yeah,
shot list? What do I actually need? How can I give all the departments the exact things that I,
yeah,
want day one of prep so they can do their best and I'm not going to change my mind? And if I do change my mind, do I give them enough notice to change my mind? And I'm going to write a shot list before day one so everybody on day one knows exactly what we're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only,
yeah,
way I'm going to finish my day on time and the,
right,
crew's going to trust me.
Right. And are that's television, you know?
Am I type A?
Because the shot list is what intimidates me.
No, but you could do it. Like once you learn it,
yeah,
you could do it. Somebody gave me great advice when I was shadowing too, was like, watch favorite movies or favorite TV shows. This all comes back to watching TV. And write down all their shots.
Yeah.
And then you'll start like counting. Like, so now like when I do watch TV, I'm like, wide shot, they had two,
yeah,
singles from here, from,
right,
this, to this. Oh, look at that. They didn't cover it all. Oh, look at Oppenheimer. I was watching it last night. I'm like, lots of close-ups. Living in lots of close-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch the whole movie. So like, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so then once you start to put it all together, then you're like writing it down yourself. You're like, oh, wait, now I'm looking at a scene. I could start to break this down.
Yeah.
That joke needs a two-shot.
Right.
Well, yeah. So then you have your shot list.
So then you just like, that's it. You think in shot list. And it's like, just like writing a recipe. Our friend, we share a mutual friend in Doug Liman. Doug Liman told me once that that making something is a lot like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So that writing the script is writing the recipe. Going to set is like going to the grocery store and getting all of your ingredients. And then when you go to editing, it's like you're cooking and actually putting the meal together.
That's exactly right.
And he's also a really good cook.
And he's a very good cook. Yeah, he's a really good cook too.
Oh, yeah. He baked like the best pie ever.
What kind of pie?
Well, we picked berries and it was like a fresh, like, anyway.
Berry
Speaking
pie.
Of cooking, mm-hmm. What is it like living with your husband and the eating?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It is. Because I don't cook.
Oh, you,
so
don't?
You don't? Okay.
No,
tell us
I
about
don't.
That.
So for everyone listening, obviously John and Vinny's very like well-known LA chefs, incredible. I mean,
yeah,
just everything about the two of them, but your husband, John. And
yeah,
anyway, just to like, the best food ever.
Yeah. And they're really nice guys and they're really, really hardworking and they're, you know, they really just sort of give it their all. But so like 2 years ago, we have kids. We have an 11-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son. And like 2 years ago, they like sat us down before school last year and they were like, I was making the lunches. And they were just like, this has to stop. This is a meal. My son starts crying. He's like six. He goes, I'm hungry during the day. I need like a proper meal.
Okay.
Like it cannot be like a bag of chips and a sandwich every day. Dad needs to be in charge.
Oh, okay.
And did so he take over?
So he took over lunches.
And what are they? I need to know what
I
the lunches
what
are.
Yeah,
so lunches. So I'm just saying like, that's why certain things are amazing. And also like, I can make like pancakes. Like I can kind of make a few things for every meal, like for like breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But like I can—
You'd keep them alive.
I'd keep them alive, but my husband's out of town now. My kids are like, Mom, just so you're going to take us out every night, right? And I'm like, I'm not even going to attempt this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. And yeah. also at the end of the night, you're like tired and then like to make a meal. It's just not.
Yeah.
But for my husband, it like brings him joy. It's easy, 30 minutes. Lunch is sometimes it's, sometimes it is sandwiches.
Yeah.
But if it's like for her, it's like turkey, avocado.
Yeah.
A like little cheese. Yeah. Like a sandwich. My son's more like salami or something like that. Leftover dumplings is really big. I go to the supermarket once a week and I get them like supermarket sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Fresh veggies, yeah. fruit. I have like given in. I'm like, you want a bag of chips? Because I'm like at this stage, now they're a little older. I'm like, I just need you to eat.
Yeah. Right. It's long days.
Yeah, I just need yeah. you to eat. Yeah. I don't care if it's organic all the time. I don't care if it's the best. I just need like literally calories and things and knowing that you went to school and you ate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like he noodles. He mm-hmm. has like a new sort of like bodega-y supermarket thing now. And they have like—
Wait, what do you mean?
It's called Cookbook. It's oh, yeah. Larchmont.
Wait, Cookbook oh, is wait. Theirs?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Yeah.
We went to the yeah. one in Echo Park.
Yeah, they
we
have did. That. So like they have like pre-made foods.
That makes so much sense.
So like we give them sometimes like the pre-made foods for, or we'll go to John Vinny's and then like leftovers.
Oh, I'm so hungry. And
me too. John
there's
and
nothing
Vinny.
I love more.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just so hungry. So all we want to do is talk about food. Support for Broad Ideas comes from Honeylove. Ladies, imagine a bra that you actually want to wear. You probably can't think of one unless you already own Honeylove. Today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. Plus, they're made with fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. You'll immediately feel and see the difference. It's so next level comfortable, you'll forget you're wearing it. It's time to spring clean your bra drawer. Let me tell you, okay? After having kids, every lady might like a little lift, but you don't want to sacrifice comfort, which I never found in an underwire bra. Thanks to Honeylove, their soft, supportive bras have really been a game changer. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/ideas. Use your exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/ideas. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Support for Broad Ideas comes from Clarins. If you're like me and fully rocked out to NSYNC, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. You've been adulting for a while, so the daily stress is swiping left, binging the fourth season of Gossip Girl until 2 a.m. instead of getting the recommended 8 hours of sleep, and just trying to keep your life together can cause stress aging. Yes, it's a thing. The good news, Europe's number one skincare line has a solution you can trust. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first plant forward products. Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, even toning and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. I have been using Multi-Active for over a week, and seriously, I can already see the difference. I have dry skin, so this is so moisturizing, nourishing. I feel like it is fully filling in the lines, fine lines, bye-bye. 24-hour hydration. It's amazing. Go to clarins.com/ideas and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/ideas with promo code IDEAS.
So he's not tired of cooking when he comes home?
He's not really cooking, no. Some days he is. He's not cooking, doing it seven days a week, but like maybe 4 nights a week he like makes dinner. And then 3 nights a week, he'll like organize whatever the food is for dinner. But like what I've learned from his is like, he's asking you what you want for dinner at like 11.
In the morning.
Yeah. Like one of the first times I talked to him on the phone, he's like, what are you thinking for dinner? And so you realize mostly like it just takes planning.
Right.
Yeah.
Or he'll be like, okay, I have salmon in the freezer. So when you come home from picking them up from school, put the salmon, start to run the cold water over it, get a cold, put it in the fridge. So like he's like,
he's constantly prepping, planning of it.
And like now their business isn't that he's like cooking on the line so much.
Yeah.
So he's not cooking all the time, but sometimes he's also like, I'm sick of it. And like over COVID, he was like, if I'm tired of my food, like everyone's got to be tired of their own food at this point.
I mean, that happens.
How did you guys meet?
So my husband is business partners and is in business partner with this guy, Vinny. And Vinny was dating this girl, Sarah. And Sarah and I had been friends for many years.
Ah, okay.
So that's
how you met.
Set up. Group
no, so
activity.
Then we knew each other for like, we knew, okay. Okay, here we go. No, we knew each other for like 7 years.
Oh, you did.
We knew each other for a long time. I was like very professional at being single. I was very professional at being single. And then, but we were always sort of in each other's orbits and we would like, he would come to parties at my house or I'd see him around. But I just like wasn't really even sure of what I should be looking for. And I was just like dating everybody to like figure out what do I want. Yeah. And then you finally get to that stage where you're like, I'm actually ready for like a really nice guy that like values me and appreciates me, all those things. And I was at a birthday dinner and my friend, I don't know if you know Ashley Margolis, she was like,
yeah, of course.
Just go out with John. Like John likes you.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can't believe that. And then sure enough. What happened was I was making a show living in Vancouver and I was gutting my house in LA because I was trying to get all the like ghosts of boyfriends past out of the house. So I like ripped the house up and I was like, Sarah, I don't have any place to sleep this weekend. Let me stay at your house. And she's like, well, John's staying here too. I was like, you have an extra room. And so that was like the first weekend in like 7 years that we ever really spoke.
What?
Like we had a conversation and talked. I was like, wait, this guy is like really nice.
Oh, wow.
He was like a really, really nice guy. And then I went away and so we had to like talk on the phone.
Yeah.
And then we came home on the weekends and we kind of saw each other. We did that for like 6 weeks. And you're like, man, you can, this thing of like being long distance, short term was nice because then you could like have to speak and talk and you couldn't be physical. You had to And I was like, wow, he's a really nice guy. And he did something that was really nice for me when I was away that made me realize like, man, this guy really values me.
Yeah.
Like I was, I was gutting my house and like I said, I was living in Vancouver and I was like trying to figure out what color to do the floors. It's a very high class problem. But he like left work during the day to like go take pictures of the floor colors for me to text it to me. And I was like, this is a guy that like sees me as like worth the effort and like worth the time to leave work. This is a guy that like really appreciates me. And that's really what I was, you know, what you all, everybody wants to find. And so I came home from Vancouver and then we were just kind of, we've just been together. Yep.
Wow. But how did you get to that point? Because I do think there's a turning point in women's lives where you date the guy, you're not getting what you want. You don't have that kind of attention that you want. But how did you get yourself to the point where you were actually ready to receive that?
That's so interesting. Well, I had been with somebody for a year before that at the beginning of this TV show. And then I spent the rest of the like year and a half run of the show by myself. And I was like, this is my fault that I'm like single and successful and alone. Mm-hmm. I had put like too many rules on the relationships. I was like making guys jump through hoops. And I was just like, I don't want this anymore. Like to be successful and alone is like not worth it. And I also just don't want to be alone. Like the thing I wanted more than my career, and you guys can see that I'm ambitious, is like I've always just wanted to be like married and have a family and have a partner. And like when I'm asleep at night, that's what I'm praying for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That
is like number one. But I was like, this is my fault. So by the time John came in, I was like, I am just going to say yes to everything. Right? And he was like, let's move on. I was like, okay, fine, yes. Like everything that I would be like, no way. I was like, I'm going to say yes. And like, I really think the beginning of our relationship was like the hardest. Just like, who is this other person? How do you live together? How do you create a life together? Even when we first have our kids, how do we parent together? Mm. And it's only subsequently gotten easier.
Right.
Right.
As we've like built together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. And like not that parenting is easy and no. like having two kids and two careers and families and all that. Like it's not easy, but like there's a lot of trust between us. There is a lot of juggling, a lot of respect. And I just think a lot of partnership. Like he does the food, but like I handle
everything.
All the kids. Like,
yeah.
Not everything. Because he does all the house stuff. Okay. I don't do any of that kind of stuff either. And he handles a lot of that stuff. So like I handle like I go to kids, I'm at drop off, I'm at pickup, I'm talking to teachers, I'm doing the classes, like what's going on? You know, like
yeah.
I'm doing all that. And then he does all the other stuff.
Partnership.
Real partnership.
It's a real partnership.
It's a real partnership.
Yeah. It's interesting too because I feel like One thing I love that you said is the truth, which is that when you were going to sleep at night and praying, it was for that. Because I think so many times people pump this message of like, you have to be okay alone and you have to love yourself and you have to this and that. That's all great. And you should be okay alone and you should love yourself. But there's also a yearning, I think, for a lot of people that they shut off because they think that they should just be okay alone. When the truth of the matter is, you're allowed to crave things and you're allowed to want things that you don't have. And I think that there's a narrative that that's not okay for some reason.
Totally. I mean, I enjoyed my singlehood and it was really hard, but like, I'm so grateful that I was like not partnered up until my early 30s because like I really got to know myself.
Yeah.
I went on vacations by myself. I did all that stuff, but you're right. Like, that was the thing I was always looking for. And that was the thing that mattered to me. I like really wanted my own family.
Yeah.
Right. So now that I have my kids, I'm just like, how do I make it good enough that they'll want to come back?
I think you're doing it.
Yeah.
I think you're doing it. You're letting them have the bag of chips.
So many bags of chips.
So
but I try
many.
To stay away from the gummies. Yeah.
Like, really? Why?
It's not good for their teeth, the dentist.
Oh, okay.
So,
everything, but whatever. They have sour candy all the time. I do it all.
Yeah.
It's like
lots of sugar. I'm like, you're not hungry? How about a bowl of ice cream?
Yeah.
Now you're hungry.
I know we talk about this. Like, our kids get dessert every
day.
Every day. Yeah.
Sometimes every meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just feed them.
Yeah.
I'm like, as long as you're eating the other stuff, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
There's just so many.
I'm bad. I'm like, those teeth are going to fall out. You're going to get new ones. Like, we're going to lose this round.
Yeah.
But
how old's your child?
I have two. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, fun. Two boys.
You know? Yeah, two boys. Oh, two boys.
Two boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a girl who's 9.
Oh, so amazing.
She's
in third grade?
Yeah.
How fun.
I know. It is fun. Although last night she was like, Mom, school tomorrow. And I'm like, honey, you used to always like be so happy to go to school. And she's like, third grade is really hard.
Yeah,
it is.
I think it switches in third grade. I think it kind of gets a little more.
Like, well, now they're like doing multiplication.
Yeah,
and you're
division,
like expecting to read chapter books. And you're reading to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's read,
a different
like,
thing.
Second grade's hard. We switched schools mid-semester.
Oh, good for you.
And so we had a school that was like no homework, none of that stuff, right? And then we switched to a more, you know, typical school. And my son said to me today, I'm so sad because my little one he's different, right? Mm-hmm. And my second grader was like, Mom, I'm really worried about Shepherd. And I was like, why are you worried about him? He's like, this school's really hard. And I'm really afraid he's not going to be able to keep up.
Oh, no.
And I was like, baby, you don't need to worry about that. Like, we're watching. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got this. Like, we're going to put Shepherd where Shepherd's supposed to be.
Oh, the little one.
Yeah, the little one.
Yeah. And it was just so sad that he was like,
He takes on so much. Like, as his guardian, right?
Yeah. I was like, you have to trust us. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to have Shepherd somewhere he's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but I'm telling you, second grade's really hard. And I just don't think he's going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, the good news is he's not in second grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's just crazy to watch these like little brains processing and like.
I know. Yeah. Wanting to fix it. I know. It's so hard. I have a hard time with like the friendship dynamic. Mm. I don't know with your daughter if like, when did it, have you had to deal with
that?
Okay. Because I need a little.
I can read her right now.
Because I'm just like trying to figure out how to navigate this stuff.
I mean, I probably made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
I did make a lot of mistakes.
When did you see it kind of start?
Well, in kindergarten, there is this thing in kindergarten where the parents could go to school on like volunteer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just like sussing it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, who do I like? Oh, who do I not like?
Right.
Right? Like the ones, let me just have play dates with all these.
Yeah.
And there was just one that I was like, uh-uh.
Right.
I can just see that this is going to take us down a path. And like, because I was a child actor, I like was barely hanging on at school. So I came up with other methods to like fly through. And I had a great experience in my education, but like I didn't learn too much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But I have learned the school of hustle and I am like a professional at it. But
yeah.
Like I am just like very focused that I wanted my kids to like learn when they go to school. So I had like asked to separate my kid, mm-hmm. my daughter from certain people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, this is going to be distracting sure. to the education.
Got it. Got it. Smart.
Right? In yeah. kindergarten, I saw it.
Whoa.
Because I conferred with the teacher. I got confirmation. And then COVID hit. And we came back and we basically came back in fourth grade. And I was like, what happened? You don't have that many, like, she's the nicest person. She has a million friends outside of school. But I was just
right.
like,
oh, wow.
A million. And anywhere she goes, she has friends. She's an incredible kid. But I was like, the relationships at school, she kind of missed the boat. And so last year, it was hard for me personally because I was like, I'm sending you to a place that you love the education. You're like taking advantage of everything the school has to offer, but you're not really getting those relationships.
So hard.
That is such a big part of growing up, although she had those experiences and those relationships outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
right?
So, I don't think it matters,
literally
then.
Every single weekend, I was just having play dates.
Yeah.
One kid after the next. I was like, I will just foster these relationships. And we did, and it has worked. And I think in it, she also learned, like, some of these people aren't that nice. And she herself has learned to be like, I don't want to be friends with X,
that's
Y, and
so
Z.
So good.
But when I tell you I was at school, like, that hysterical mom, like, crying, being like, you guys, how did none of you teachers see this?
Don't make me, I'm going to start
right.
crying.
Right.
I can't.
Like, and I'm not like the stuff. Quiet mom that's in the corner. I'm yeah. going from like one teacher to the next teacher yeah. to the next teacher being like, this isn't enough. Like
right.
just learning to read now is not enough if we're going to miss this big component at school. And also yeah. like she does have a lot of friends. And so that's that thing. And she's navigating it. But even now I'm always like, when I go to school, I'm like, oh my God, just hold it together, Sherry.
Right.
Like, just don't act like a nut job. Don't embarrass her. And then with my son, it's totally different.
Interesting.
Because of different genders too. And then you're
yeah.
like,
yeah.
if he's like, so-and-so is mean, I'm like, whatever. I know next day you're going to say that one's mean. And
yeah.
the next day you're going to like this kid. And he wasn't mean because he played basketball and he cheated. Like, I can't really wrap my head around it totally yet.
Yeah.
Maybe because it doesn't push my buttons in the same way.
That's it.
I don't know. With boys, I think it's a little bit, I don't know. My husband doesn't, he doesn't worry about any of it, well, which is so interesting.
It is. I feel like that's a lot. I see it with a lot of dads. Like when things are going on, they're like, no, what do you mean? They're kids, like, or whatever.
He's just like, our kids are going to be fine.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
They have to go through things.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
I
true.
Do wonder, like, my son, we've moved every single year. He's gone to a different school every year. And so he's missed out on some like really fundamental root building relationships through school, mm-hmm. but he has them outside of school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, does it really matter?
No, they say as long as they have one friendship,
yeah.
doesn't matter, like one real friendship.
He has yeah. best friends.
It does not matter if those relationships exist on campus or off campus.
Right. You know how I feel?
Right.
I'm like, as long as they have relationships yeah. and can build relationships.
Yeah.
To me, that's what matters.
I don't yeah. know how to navigate like the mean girl stuff, you know? Like I just, like you were saying, it's like, do you just remove them from that relationship or like?
I got all different people's advices.
Yeah.
Some people were like, they have to learn it themselves. Don't be too engaged.
Right.
Like don't, and then my mom was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like this is the time in your life when you can like play in a hand in it because when they get into high school, we're not going to have that control.
Right.
It's so tricky.
And so you're just like,
it's like, yeah.
And so I listened to my mom because
yeah.
she was just like, no, if you see it now, why are you going to let it go on?
Right.
Because they don't know how to see it yet. They haven't learned it and they don't need to fight that battle.
Right. But it's also, I think it's like giving them the tools now so they know how to navigate it later. Like, yeah. Because you are still guiding them, you know, right. Like you said, once they're in high school, they're like.
They're not. But like sometimes they have to get their feelings hurt and right. They have to and feel excluded. Like
you're going
to
be disappointed.
And to feel like that isn't friendship. That's not what it is. Right. Like what is friendship, right? Yeah. Like what is love? What do those things feel like?
Yeah.
That happens because you have both. You have a boy and a girl. That happens more with girls, right?
Those conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my son has those kind of conversations too. And what's interesting with the oldest is that my daughter is able to say to him, like, oh, and that's not friendship.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. If the person's not being nice to you or saying they don't want to play with you because you're not giving them your snacks, like, that's not a friend.
Right.
Right.
It can be as basic as that. And then he kind of understands.
Right.
And so what is nice is her saying that to him and he like looks up to her in that way and that she's like the peer. But he does that. Sometimes he also says like, I don't know if I fit in or feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What doesn't fit in second grade? Like, what does that even look like?
Gosh.
But like, it breaks your heart. But at the same time, all I think about is like, I drop them off in the morning and they're happy. And when I pick them up in the afternoon, they're happy.
Right. But also it's like if we were all really, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, like I thought I fit in through school, but like when I look back on it, it's like, no, I started drinking at 11 and I started like, even like, I thought I fit in, but like I wasn't comfortable. Who knows what I would have felt like if I wasn't like part of certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the kids just have a more in tune sense now.
Yeah.
Of their comfort because they have different language. They have different parents. They have different awarenesses where when I hear a kid say, I don't know if I fit in or I'm not comfortable, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, so
good
clear.
For you be able to recognize that and be like, yeah, we all fucking feel like that sometimes.
How are you supposed to fit in though when it's like strangers from all different walks of life,
right?
All different life experiences and family dynamics.
Yeah.
And there's like 20 kids in the class and you're like, go find your people. You're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I can't even do that as a grown up.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So like, of course you're going to feel left out. Like it takes a long time in life and many experiences and a lot of different opportunities to find the people that you're like, this is my person.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm 45. My friend Wells that I'm friends, I met her at 21. But how many friends did I meet in my 20s that I'm still around with today? Very few.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So how at 8? Sure, maybe there's no one in this class you connect with. But like, go have a good experience. Get what you want. We have a great life.
Right. So I feel like that too. I feel like we don't need to push.
Yeah. The connections.
The connections.
Yeah.
It's like if you put us in a room with 40 parents, and I don't know about you, we've talked about this with other people we're really close with. We're like, you go to a second grade.
How many parents
thing.
Do you want to hang out with That's when you leave?
Right. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So why would we expect our children
That's what
to?
We say all the time. Just get a good education.
Just get a good education.
Just learn as much as you can.
Throw the ball, chase it.
That's it. Right. Just have a good experience during the day. But the friend dynamics is hard because I went to school and I was just all about the social.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't help but like want the gossip in her grade. And she's like, Mom, why do you even care? I don't care.
I'm like you though too. It was like all.
It's all I care.
Yeah.
And my mom's like, you went to high school to like get your messages and like talk to boys and that's it.
You're like, yeah, isn't that what high school's for?
Yeah. And I'm like, she's definitely going to an all-girls school. Like we
definitely. Go to an all-girls school?
No, I went to Calabasas High School.
Oh,
I went,
you went to
like public school. I ditched every day. I was like a professional cheater. I was like a hustler.
Yeah.
It was
a good time.
Yeah,
the best like, experience. I had the best
I like,
school
loved
experience.
High school. I got to college. I was like, what? I've like done this.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, get me in the real world.
Broad Ideas is supported by Blissey. Who knew that a better pillowcase is all you need for better sleep? Let's talk about practicing self-care while you sleep. Set yourself up with better sleep with Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. Seriously, silk is what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and keeps your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, while cotton literally absorbs it off of your face. Say goodbye to wrinkles, dry, flaky, and red skin in the morning and wake up with healthier and shinier hair. I love my Blissey pillowcase so much. Yes, I tend to have frizzy hair. And with the summer months approaching, the frizz can take over with the heat and humidity, depending where you are in the world. But Blissey pillowcases have tamed my hair while I sleep. It's amazing. Everybody loves them. They have a ton of different prints and colors, and they make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. Men love them too. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Try now risk-free for 60 nights at blissy.com/Rachel and get an additional 30% off. That's blissy.com/Rachel and use code Rachel to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you. Wait, I feel like it was similar for me. Now yeah, you're right? putting it that way, you know? I mean, I did, you know, high school. But high school also had, like, a drama
department
to it, which was, like, amazing. But it was a lot of partying and, like, boys and friends. And I met all my best friends high school, you know? And so it's just so interesting, though. But it's just so different. And then I'm like, oh, my God, Briar, you cannot do what I did.
That's how I feel. I'm like, just go to school and learn.
So yeah.
I
mean,
so I'm like, get it.
I want you to be, yeah, get a real education.
Please.
My husband's the opposite, though, because he had like a really wholesome, typical, you know, just like a great experience growing up.
Yeah.
Where he was more, it was more structured. Yeah. You know? And so he's like, I want him to live. And I'm like, I want him to learn, you know? But like, yeah. Two different, it's hard. It's like there is that kind of.
I
like,
want them to live hard, but after school and on the weekends, yeah. When they're in school, I want them to soak up that education and just feel like they can walk into any room as an adult and have a conversation that's like educated and informed about a variety of topics and feel confident in what they have to say. And then also at the same time, be like, let's go have a good time.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And like find passions. Like at this age, I'm like, we're all just learning to read, write, and like, but like, can we help them find things that they're passionate about that will like help them figure out later in life what to feel passionate about? Because that's like the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, but I feel like you guys are already winning at that. I say this all the freaking time. More is caught than taught. They're watching you model it.
Totally.
There is nothing that is going to be more impactful for them becoming that than you two doing that.
Totally. You know? Thanks. That's nice.
It's true.
Yeah. No, but I think so. I mean, like my husband and I are like both like I keep saying, like we're both really driven, but we are driven at the things that we're passionate about. Neither right. one of us are like educated in that formal way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? And my mom's always said like, there's so many forms of education, right? Like if you're taking your kids, you're traveling, you're exposing them, you know, that is like the best education. It's like, okay, there's textbooks and sure, there's things you need to know. Do we look back and are like, oh, I'm so happy like algebra taught me like whatever the fuck that you never use again. But like if you're taking the kids to these experiences, I feel like it's so much more, I don't know what the word is, but it's just
like well-rounded exposing. What are you guys doing for spring break?
I'm going to Portland.
Oh, you cool. Are you guys traveling?
We are. Are you guys doing something?
We're undecided at the moment, but
we had a trip planned and then we scrapped it.
Oh, what was it?
We were going to go take him to Mexico City, which we thought was sounded really cool. But then it just started to feel like, whoa, what is this? Like, what is this really? What are we really going to do? And then last week we decided we rented an RV.
My dream too.
My husband has always said no. And for whatever reason, he just changed his mind and said yes. And so now I'm like trying to book like RV
that
parks.
Is the bomb.
It's going to be incredible.
How far are you going? Like
I think we're going to go for like 14 days. I think we're going to
do the whole.
I think we're going to go San Diego, Las Vegas, Grand Canyon, Zion, Sedona. Like
this is my dream.
And me too. He's always said no. But then I'm like looking up RV parks. I'm like, whoa, guys, this is a little bit more intricate.
It's all on you.
You have to do this.
This is your shot list.
There's so much planning.
No,
I mean,
the kids are more excited about this.
Oh my God.
John was like, I cannot believe they're telling everyone we're going in an RV.
But it's so fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. I'll report back.
Please do.
But yeah, we're going. We're really.
That's always what I've said. Like, my honeymoon, I don't want to go anywhere fancy. I want to take an RV.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been married. Yeah. Like, in my mind.
I've never been in one.
No, I've never been in one. But also, you have two kids. So for me, like, I only have one.
Yeah.
So those trips, I'm like, oh, she needs like a, another little person.
We started taking our vacations with other families.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like our last handful of vacations and families we don't even know that well.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's rough.
Wait, what?
How do you do this?
Wait, hold on. Because we met like some of our best friends at a resort.
Okay.
Like in Mexico, we were on vacation. Yeah. We met this other family. And we're like, oh, the nicest people. We spent the whole vacation with us.
Yeah.
And we're really good friends with them afterwards. And then we went on another vacation. We like met another. John was like, let's just bring families with us. Like we're going to meet strangers.
Best.
So one trip, we've taken two trips with families that we did not know well.
And?
One of them was last spring break and they're some of our best friends now. And the other one was like still really good. And it was like just fun. And like we're still friends with them. Everything was great.
Yeah.
But you're like, it's just nice for the kids to have friends.
As long as it's the only way it's a real like trip vacation is like if you have that dialed
in. That's right. And then the tricky part is like when you're like, oh wait, their way they're operating as a family is way different.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we are like, let's play Uno at the table. If you need to get up and do a dance really quick, let's do a magic show. Like, I know the food's coming out, but let's just stop for a second because we got to play Taylor Swift. Like, whatever has to happen. And if other people are a little bit more, but you, that's just life.
It is. And it's interesting to observe.
Yeah, but I think it's, I would highly recommend just like find anybody that's like, throw it out. I'm looking to go to Palm Springs.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyone want to go to Palm
Springs? We do that. Like we'll go and join up with any friends with kids. Because that's what's fun.
I just do it with my friends though.
I mean, it's been
I've never, like I have my cousins and
I've done it like newer friends. Like we make friends through school. Like we've gone on trips and it's the best. And now we're really good friends.
That's right. It's a really good way to say like, are we friends?
Right.
And we went on spring break to Morocco with the family. Last year that we literally
went to Morocco?
Yeah, last year we took like 3 weeks. It was amazing.
That's
incredible.
How was it?
It was great. Yeah. We went to Morocco, Israel, and Paris.
Wow.
It was really amazing. Because you're just like, if you're going to get over there.
Yeah.
Just like there.
With the family you didn't
know? No, we did Morocco with them.
Okay.
And then we went to Israel, met my family. My kids like saw all of our family over there, which they'd never done before. My husband had never been.
Wow.
And it was really like just important and valuable.
Yeah.
And then my daughter wanted to go to Paris.
Of course.
On the way home.
Of course.
So we stayed for a few days.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you're saying. You're like, just that time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so valuable.
Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, I'd love
to.
I want to go to Paris. I want to go anywhere. I want to go anywhere. I am always saying that. I'm like, I will go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And the kids will go anywhere.
Yeah. With their iPads on a plane.
That's right. No, it does make everything better. Like we're going, spring break, we're going to Mount Hood. I don't even like skiing.
I'm scared to ski.
I don't like being cold. I don't like, but the answer's yes. And it's with another family. So it's always better.
That's right.
I'm like, I'll go anywhere with them.
But also if you could give your kids the gift of skiing, then they could be in college. My friend's like, you just want to get them like confident
comfortable,
enough. That if they're on a ski trip in college that they can ski.
Yeah.
I know.
My daughter's been skiing. Like,
could she ski? We don't ski.
I'm not great. Like I always snowboarded as a kid, like not well.
Yeah.
As a teenager.
Yeah.
Because it was cool, right?
Yeah.
And then she has started skiing and she's good. And I tried skiing for the first time last year. It's so much easier.
Oh, than snowboarding.
But I still don't love it because I get scared.
That's me too.
I get so scared.
I'm like screaming on the chairlift.
Because I'm getting off the chairlift, going down too fast. Like it's all, I'm just like constant pizza.
Me too. Yeah. Pizza, french fry.
No french fry. Just pizza.
Oh, just pizza. just pizza.
It's just scary. I don't know. But she loves it and I'm so happy and I encourage it. And her dad's great about taking her. So.
No.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
I'm like,
scared.
I'll stay back at the cabin and cook or eat and just not go. I don't want to go.
I know. There's so many things and they're so active. And I do. And I wonder because like my daughter's so active. Like every day after school, there's something for the most part.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe they need a day where there's nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that. But she just wants to do everything. So it's like, how much do you support
doing that stuff?
Yeah.
We do it during the week for sure. Like you're saying, every day after school, there's something. And then we try not to do anything on the weekend. But now they both have found things that they really love to do. So on Sundays in the afternoon, they have like one thing. But on the weekends, we try to just let them chill.
Right.
Because it's a lot.
I think they get overwhelmed.
They get just like you're saying, everyone also needs a break from like, get out the door. We're going to be late. Get your stuff. We got to go. And so, on the weekends, I try not to.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like but there's always either like a birthday or
I was just going to say, I'm also like, do we really have to go to this birthday party?
Yeah. There was an escape room birthday party this
weekend. That's so funny. My son did it last weekend.
Oh, really?
Was it fun?
Uh-huh, on Robertson.
Oh, on Robertson. Yeah. This was like in Hollywood somewhere. Yeah. An adult has to go in, I guess, which we didn't realize. Yeah. And so myself and another mom went in. And it was so, I mean, I love escape rooms.
Did you scary?
Was it scary?
Yeah.
It was like a kid-friendly one.
Oh, okay. I'd be scared. Uh-huh.
Well, I always get, before I go in, I have that moment of panic.
Yeah.
You're like locked in for an hour. And so like my mind instantly is like, am I going to have a panic attack?
Yeah.
What if I have to pee? You know what I mean? But I'm like, you're fine. And it's always fine. And it was fine.
But it's almost like you have to say like, is this your real friend? Do you want to do that? Or we're going to do this?
Right. How important is—
Yeah. How important
is— No, my daughter does not want to miss it. Doesn't matter if it's like a best friend or like an acquaintance. She cannot miss a birthday party.
Wow, really?
Well, she doesn't want to.
What do you do for you outside of your kids?
Oh, thanks for asking. You're welcome. I appreciate that. I like to exercise.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I did Tracy Anderson for like 10 years.
Oh, wow.
But then COVID hit and I just haven't been back. I like to hike. Like I said, I like to get out in nature. I like to do a lot of Pilates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a Peloton. I like the Peloton app a lot.
Yeah, it's great.
I use the Peloton app a lot. I am a ClassPass
gal.
I love ClassPass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I could just find classes. But I like to exercise. Mm-hmm. I like to read. And what else do? I take hot baths. I love to garden.
Oh,
I am like really big
and you're
into
good at
gardening.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I was.
Yeah. Again, John like helped sort of steer me, but I've really taken it over and we grow a lot of stuff at the house.
Oh my gosh.
What are you growing?
right now our kumquats are crazy. The whole weekend has been about kumquats. The kids took them and sold them on Larchmont this weekend.
No way.
At the farmer's market, I swear to God. We were there for like 2.5 hours.
That is so cute.
Selena Gomez walked by. My daughter was like, oh my God.
That's exciting.
I mean, it was amazing. She was like 10 years old and I was like, it was great. Kumquats, tomatoes, lemons, limes, apples, blueberries.
Wow.
Pumpkins.
Cucumbers.
We've grown everything. Eggplant. And then the great thing is that like John cooks it.
So
otherwise I wouldn't know what to do with it. I wouldn't know what to do with it. I don't like growing lettuce, I find it very unsatisfying because you grow it, you cut it, it's dead.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
one head of lettuce. It's finished. The same thing with broccoli or cauliflower. I don't find that satisfying. I grow flowers. But I spend a lot of time on my garden.
That's so therapeutic.
Yeah. And I journal every day. I've been writing in a journal since I was a kid.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so good.
But I do it all the time.
Did you watch the Pamela Anderson documentary?
I didn't
see it.
But she writes in her journal a lot.
She journaled
her whole life.
It was so cool to see because then she went back through all these. She's journaled the entire time.
Oh, wow.
So there was like reflection she could go back on. I was like, God, that's beautiful to be able to like capture her experience the whole time. Anyways, I want to read your journals.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I know. I was like, I feel like I've like really found myself, especially in my 20s, in my journals. And now I just sort of journal just to like get my thoughts out or get everything out.
Do you read it back or is it just to dump?
Sometimes I like read throughout the full journal itself to be like, where did I start? Mm-hmm. Like I've been talking about wanting this thing for so long. Or look how I dropped that thread. Or like, man, I've been writing about wanting this. And like, look, now by the end of the journal, I have that. That's interesting.
Oh, that's cool. How many do you have?
I mean, like,
so many. Do you keep them all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like some I have that have like for my whole 20s, I used to get them like from T. Anthony and have like my name embossed on them. Like, but like, you know, my whole 20s, it was like every plane flight, every movie ticket, like everything was taped in there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Now my kids like draw in my journals. So I like kind of write around their drawings and then you stick cards in the journals from people and then you just have them all in there.
Is it ever hard to go back and look at some of the
things? I mean, you're not going to read them because it's like, I'm excited I had this audition for the OC.
Yeah.
Didn't get the job.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, like, it's like, what do you write? You know what I mean? Like,
wait, did you?
No, I never. I was already on Russell, but I was just like, I was like, what did I audition for? No, I just, but do you know my Josh Schwartz story?
No.
Wait, tell me. I probably do.
That's so
remind
funny.
Me.
Okay, so Josh Schwartz went to USC.
Yeah.
Right? So Josh Schwartz and I went to USC and my big sister in my sorority was his girlfriend at the time.
No way.
And that first, my second year there, Josh was a third year. I made the pilot for Roswell and Josh made another pilot, not the OC.
The records one or whatever.
It was like a boarding school or something.
Okay.
And so we got together at his house to watch our pilots.
No.
Oh, wow.
And he found out, I found out that day that Roswell got picked up and his pilot didn't get picked up. Oh. But we sat next to each other. We watched each other's pilots.
No way.
Yeah. And now where our kids go to the same school.
I know. We see I was them all say, the time. But Stella's older.
She's six. And then yeah. the other one is, they're both like 1 year older
yeah,
than my
kids.
Yeah,
and Winnie's younger. Yeah.
But or it's older. Very funny because our lives have like constantly intertwined.
Totally.
But I always am like, Josh, you really scored since that one series.
That one led that.
You've done pretty well, mister.
Yeah. Oh my God, how yeah. funny is that?
Yeah, really funny. I talk about that because you just never know.
Yeah, but you see him because of school.
And
yeah.
he crushes it.
Yeah.
He crushes yeah. it. But yeah, that's what well. I do for myself. And I like just, I get into big phases of exercising. And I the other thing is I love the real.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you want to talk
addicted.
About, like, that's the
she
thing
knows
that
I,
really gets
I get
me
down.
Going. That is it. Because I, like, I want to look great, but I want a deal. And it just, like, makes me feel good.
It really does. It's really great.
It really site. Does. I, like, don't do too much other beauty kind of things. But, mm-hmm. like, if I can just have some clothes that make me feel, like, together.
Are you good at making the decision?
I have a group of my friends that are really good at style.
Okay, so you throw it up to them.
Everything.
It's okay. like a group thread that
no,
you just...
No, different friends. One of my best girlfriends in New York will shop together. If I need to shop, we'll shop online. Like, we'll do a Zoom and she'll shop with me. Or if I get things, I'll send her photos.
Yep.
Or, like, don't put it with that. And then another friend of mine that I went to Morocco with that I didn't know who has incredible style. This summer, she said something to me really well. I was wearing, like, something with, like, a lot of flowery prints and very mm-hmm. girly. She's like, you don't dress as smart as you are.
Ooh.
Oh.
And I was like, I love you. Thank
How did
you
that
for
feel?
Yeah. Great. Give me yeah. the note.
Oh, wow.
Give me the note.
I think yeah. I would be like,
No, I was like, give me that note. She goes, that is not, as, you are so much smarter than how this outfit is like selling you. I was like, I love you for saying that to me.
Wow.
And so I just like.
Did that feel, it felt
that
true?
Felt great. Yeah. I was like, I get that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think being stylish is like inherent to me. Mm. So right. I like think about it. Like when I get dressed to go to work, I like really think about my outfits because I'm on set finally in my own clothes.
Yeah.
Ugh. Being the boss. So like that's a whole thing. So I love a note. I love a note.
You do have a director's mind. You're like, yes, give it to
give
me
the
feedback.
A note,
let me make it better.
Especially about my style.
Wow.
Or, like things that I'm not like, or like my best girlfriend in New York when I was shopping with, she came over Christmas. Over COVID, my husband started dyeing my hair. Like everybody else, right? And so we never stopped for 4 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
that
for
is
four
amazing.
Years he dyed my hair. And we were, and I didn't know that you were only supposed to dye the roots.
The roots.
And so for 4 years, he dyed my whole head once a month. And like literally fried my hair. And so my girlfriend came from New York and she was like,
what are you doing?
Your hair is terrible. Like, this is not going to, cheery, come on.
Oh, no.
And I was like, she's like, you're just prettier than this. This is like not the best version of you. And that's what sometimes you need your friends to be like,
yeah.
wake up. And I was like, thank you. And that's why I chopped. I went back and she was like, he can't dye your hair anymore. Like, I get that he's good at it and it's cute for you too, that he's like yeah. nurturing and like a cub and like,
yeah, it's like a bit.
Taking care of me and so sweet. But she's like, you need to go to a professional. What are you doing?
Right.
So do you? You go to a professional?
No, I just did it for the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, looks great.
Your roots.
That was my number one in my journal. The very first New Year's resolution was like, figure out your hair.
Oh.
Get it together.
I did it though.
It looks great.
Yeah, it looks
great.
I did
it in January. So I felt very good. Like,
there
man, 2024 is off to the races.
How do you feel? I just had that length. Is your hair naturally straight like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Oh. But I blow dried it. I mean, I just like, I wash it. And then this today, I just learned to use a rolly brush for this hair. So I blow dried it. I was like, oh, this is a good one today.
It's
but
so
yeah, but I want to feel together.
I get
it. Now, you know, like we're in our 40s.
I
want to feel like a grown woman.
So how do you feel? Because sometimes when I do feel
we're
like-
really getting all over the place.
I know. We are.
Really
we like it all.
That's
we hit it all.
Like, okay. Because sometimes like we'll dress like 14-year-olds sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll be a little bit more womanly and I'm like, I don't like the way this feels.
Oh.
This doesn't feel right to me.
Oh.
Like I don't feel like I'm there yet.
I only want to dress like the woman.
Mm.
And when I'm dressing like that other thing, I'm like, ah, God, sure, you gave up today.
Oh,
wow.
I have a really hard
time. That's just me. That's just me.
Totally.
Because I'm like, I don't.
No, it's, yeah.
That's just me.
I feel like Victoria Beckham is also someone who probably.
I watched that documentary.
I didn't watch that.
That series was incredible.
Loved it.
And they were so wonderful. And I had never given them the time. And I thought that documentary really opened my eyes to how much I love them.
Same. Oh, wow.
You're making me want to up my game.
If you want to see me when I go to bed.
I wear matching sweatsuits every day. Like, that is my uniform. I've heard Ava Mendez say that before. She never dresses in sweatpants in front of her dude or something. Didn't she say something like that? And I'm like, I don't know how to dress.
I try not to wear them.
What?
Except when I go to the beach or something. Then you're like, I'm at the beach. I'm wearing the sweats. But I try not to wear them.
But then what are you at? The minute I wear this to drop off. But the minute I walk in the door, my clothes come off.
My jeans come off and my cozies come
on. Sure, of course, when I come home. But like, sometimes I'm trying to be like, maybe I'll put black leggings on and a cashmere sweater or something. But I don't. I look like a mess, you guys. That's only my goal. But like, I lived all weekend in sweatpants.
I feel like I look like a 90s like hip hop rapper. I know. I was like, when I dropped my kids off at school.
It makes me feel good about myself. If you're asking me, what do I do for me?
Yeah, that's something that makes me feel good.
It's very inspiring.
It is. I'm thinking often.
Yeah. But I think you have really good style. I just want to say, Olivia, you do too, but I don't see you on Instagram with your cute outfits or like things. But I think you have really good style.
I appreciate that. But if you saw me at school drop, a lot of the times I'll send like my friends or my school mom friend, and I'll be like, if I have to get out of my car.
Yeah.
I look like a legit, like, insane person.
Yeah.
Crocs, socks, wrong pajama pants, basically like a furry grandma robe. Like, it's the whole combo.
Cute. Yeah.
But I'm always like, I cannot get out of the car. And if my daughter needs help, when we pull into the parking lot, I'm like, I am sorry. I cannot get out of the car.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's a thing.
Yeah. But that's how I feel sometimes, too.
It's like, you know,
that I always get out of the car because I'm just like, whatever.
I have to get out of the car,
too. I just don't care.
You both have to at drop-off?
No, I just have. My inner soul just is like, I have to walk on campus and just like see that they're okay when they get in the class.
Oh, you can walk them.
Oh, yeah.
We walk ours
in? Yeah, you walk in. Hi, Claire. How's Nat's doing? She seems happy. How's Owen doing? You brought us. Owen, take your water bottle.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I don't know that. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. But I hear you. I feel the same way too. But I debate, should I just get rid of the sweats? But then I see like the monochrome. Okay, so interesting question. I have really decided also in the last like 6 months, I am just going to wear pajama outfits.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a real proper.
J. Crew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I have like, that's what I wear to bed. I have them.
Yeah.
And I just wear
pajama outfits.
Pajama outfits.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like matching sets.
Like
you're
like matching Diane sets. Keaton.
Are you familiar with Eberge?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because they are the softest.
Oh, cute.
Most, but they're matching.
Yeah, I have a few J. Crew outfits.
Yeah,
and those are what I wear to bed. I try to wear those, and sometimes I get cold. I'll throw like a sweatshirt over it.
Yeah. So I did this thing the other day, and I had to wear it was like an orange T-shirt and a robe and like socks, and it was supposed to be like a crazy lady, right? And I showed my husband. He's like, that looks like you.
Just normal.
Just every Tuesday.
Normal.
Like every day. And I was like, and I thought, maybe I should show up a little bit different.
I don't know. I do not shy away from a granny nightgown either. And
I like nightgowns too. See, another friend of mine, I'm always like, when I go to the flea market, I'm like, should I just buy like white lacy things and just sleep in those all the time?
Right.
Or like instead of sweatpants, should I just be in these like Victorian, like old school dresses? Like I think about that.
I wonder what Wells wears to sleep.
I'll have to ask her.
Right?
Because I think about this. This is like honestly what I think.
No,
about
like that's all I'm
loving
think
this
about
so
now.
Much. Yeah, like what do you wear to bed?
I know someone who only wears like lingerie and always has. I won't say who it is, but
I respect that.
They only wear lingerie. And I was like,
I like lingerie, but there's like a time and a place. Like
kids.
I'm not going to sleep in like, it.
They're probably used to seeing her like that or something. Do you know what I mean? Like I have very feminine friends that probably dress like that too. And they're probably just used to seeing them in that. I do need to go home and just like clean it all out. I always feel like I want to just clean it all out.
Yeah.
Refresh it all the time.
But that's also like I have so much stuff that I've kept for the past like 30 plus years.
I know. I've been trying to just get rid of a lot of it.
Yeah.
That whole thing of like, if it doesn't make me feel good when I look at it, just like get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm good at that. I can do that.
Yeah.
I think that that is really good for your state of mind.
And that's the same thing with gardening. just to tie it all back together.
Yes.
I like to go into the garden and clip out and get rid of all the dead stuff and all mm-hmm. the dead energy mm-hmm. and like make room for the fresh thing. And I feel like the garden's in the front of the house. And so like it's like the energy bringing into the house. So if I can just like clip it all, it's going to bring new stuff around.
I love that.
What do you wear?
To wear when I garden?
Yes.
Really good questions. Well, you garden, you get bit by bugs a lot.
Right.
Really?
Right? So like you, and you want to be covered because if not, you're going to have like things biting you. So uh-huh. I do wear like, and things you want to get trashed. Old sneakers or like rain boots, jeans, sweatshirts. I just don't want to get, sometimes wear a hat, but I don't mind getting sun.
Mm.
Okay. I'm cool with the sun.
A little vitamin D action.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like getting sun. And so I just, and my gloves.
Yeah.
I'm loving all.
These are important.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really what important. I spent a lot of time thinking about. The Real has really taken over once I've discovered it in the last year or so.
I
always need Rachel.
I do it for her. I'm like,
it's hard to make decisions for me because I'm like, I like that and I like that.
Yeah.
But I'll just let them sit there.
I just buy, because once you buy, it's like one shipping cost.
Yeah.
And so I just buy as much as I can.
And then return.
And then I take it back in and I return it.
Yeah.
So I just wait till my cart is like really full. And then I find that one thing that I'm like, this is the thing.
This is action.
Yeah.
Right.
When I can't let go by me. There's some things I missed out on.
Oh, I know. In that cart, you only have like 20 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. You only have like 20 minutes. It gives me anxiety.
Most likely it'll still be there and you can put it back in.
Yeah.
But it is, does get, add that
you
extra
just have
element
to, now you
have of
to
like,
go quick.
You gotta move quick if you want something.
But yeah, I like my closet a lot more now.
Do you know I check it all the time because I once left my favorite coat at like an ex boyfriend's that I never got back. So I go on there often to see.
Did he sell it?
Yeah. Could you imagine? If it resurfaces.
That's a funny movie idea.
That's cute.
I wonder how that plays out, but that's a little cute idea.
Yeah. 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 Cute. Real life, guys. Yeah. We've covered so much real life.
I know.
And it's great. And so what's going on now work-wise?
Well, I just wrapped on Tuesday. I was directing the first two episodes of Unprisoned, the second season of Kerry Washington.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I am editing. So I was sitting in my car. Fun.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
I was writing my notes down for the second one. So I edit this week. And then I'm just trying to call a feature into my life.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I have a few that are out there.
What kind?
And I like happy, sad. I like things with emotion. I like working with kids. Mm. And I have a few that are out there and I'm just trying to be like, let's just make it happen.
I love
let's
that.
Let's just make it happen.
Let's manifest it.
Yeah. I'm manifesting it like crazy. Let's make it be the one that's like the key to all the other doors being open so there's more of them.
Yeah.
Let it be really easy. I'm like,
you are manifesting
it all the time.
Yes.
When I have something going, I'm like, just talk about it right now. Let's just talk.
Yeah,
about
just talk about it.
Us witnessing it too brings more power to it.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to call that forward.
I love it.
Yeah. It's here.
That's it. So I'm just trying to do that and like work with great people.
And you're going to RV.
RV.
Spring break.
Parenting.
Parenting.
Full-time parenting. And we're about to hit summer, guys.
I know.
It's already, I can't. It goes so fast. I'm like, how are you? It's already here.
So just
camp. You just signed up for camps like 2 months ago.
I just got told that. I didn't know that information.
Yeah. It's
in full swing.
Yep.
I can't.
Camps.
No, my mind.
So that's
oh my goodness.
On. What are you guys doing? Summer camps.
I don't know. Yep. I'm always so we're unpredictable and like we travel and we don't. There's like one trip we always do with my family. That's the only thing we have set, and it's like right when school gets out.
So nice.
Yeah. So like my cousins and their kids. So it's like it's a big.
That's so
trip.
Nice. And that
it's
kicks
so
off
nice.
The summer.
It does. And my daughter looks forward to it every year.
There you go.
So that's all I have planned thus far.
I'm already signed up for like 4 camps.
You already did it?
Yes. Yes.
I signed up in October.
I had to because the other moms were like, hey,
I know.
Our kids
and it, it's and not, like, and then
my
it's
kids
not available.
Go to sleepaway camp, so you're like,
oh, they do? Where?
I want to go
like
to
East Coast?
Camp.
My daughter's doing 2 camps, and one of them's in the East Coast. Wow. So. There you go. That summer. And now it's already Christmas.
And now we're at Christmas.
Now,
I quit.
Now I'm basically trying to figure out what am I buying for Christmas presents.
Oh my goodness.
Planning Christmas break. No, I'm just kidding. Could you imagine if you were like, I'm already planning Christmas?
Oh, I know people that
are booked.
Yeah.
Me too.
For sure.
Stresses
I just thank
out.
God for other people that give me the cues. They're like,
stresses
now it's time
out,
to do this.
I'm like, okay. I wouldn't have a clue either.
No.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to do our best. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So fucking cool.
Thanks.
Maybe I could shadow you someday.
Yeah.
Anytime you want.
Oh my God. That would be amazing.
We could just do a make a shot list tutorial at home.
Yeah. That too.
We could do all of it. Shadowing. All of it. It's all possible.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yay.
Amazing.
All right. Back to pager codes, guys. We started there. Let's end there.
Let's end there. This
so
is
you
it.
Never had a pager?
Do you even know what a pager is?
Yes, I know what a pager is.
What
is
Did you
it?
Ever have one?
It's like a beeper.
Yeah, it's
like,
a beeper.
Yeah, you page someone and then they go find a phone and they call you.
Or you have codes.
Mm-hmm.
Like 143.
So you can page means, someone a message?
Yeah. Do you know what 143 stands for?
You guys said it stands for I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what 823 is?
Well, so 143 is first word's one letter, second word's four.
Correct.
Three. So
what's 823?
I would tell you.
823. Is it similar structure? Is it an eight letter word?
You go ahead and try to figure it out, Rob. Yes.
8823?
Mm-hmm. He's thinking of all if he could think of.
This might help.
Together we stand.
So I went on my first date. With Jeff, right?
Yeah. And oh, I know the story.
Because he was a doctor, he had a pager. And I was like, oh my God, pagers. And we were
you
like,
you must be so rich.
No.
That's what you're
He's
thinking?
A family medicine doctor. Family medicine doctors aren't rich. Mm. And a Huellhauser. He had a pager. So I was like, oh, we were talking pager codes and all of that stuff. And then the next day, he texted me 823. No, he texted me 823, and that made me know that our coffee date wasn't a friendship date. So what does 823 mean?
What?
You know what it means.
Oh, I know what it means.
Will you text someone 823 and see if they know what it means?
Yeah, good idea.
823, this is not a date.
It made me go, oh,
and okay. The first word's eight letters?
Am I really texting someone that to see if they get it?
Text a specific person that.
Okay.
You don't just text a random number that.
Can I have a hint? What's the first letter start with of the first word?
A T.
T. Together.
What do you want someone to do when you're not with them?
Thinking of you.
There you go.
Yes.
They're going to be like, I just sent an 823. They're going to be like... What?
Well,
or
on
if
how
they
old
understand
they are.
What it means, also, what?
Yeah.
Well, no, if they know what it means, thinking of you is a nice text.
I loved it when I got it. I was like, oh.
Can I text Natalie 823?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She will be like, what
I'm
the fuck are you talking
Jeff
about?
I'm going to text Jeff 823 right now.
Aw.
She doesn't have a pager ever. So this is going to.
Well, sometimes people. Does she know 143?
No.
Yes, she does. Huh. You know what else we used
eight,
to
two,
do?
823. Mm-hmm. No dashes or anything?
Nothing. 823. We used to do like...
Yeah, just the numbers. 823.
Like her code was 19.
I bet Casper knows what it is.
No, he doesn't.
No way.
Let's call every millennial in the book.
Jeff maybe would know what it is.
He's older.
Yeah.
We should just text as many people as possible.
Natalie just sent me a question mark back.
Who else would respond like immediately?
Leah?
George.
Did George have a pager? Or is he
I know.
Younger?
No, he's young.
But he seems like he would know. The
Leah
codes.
Knows, obviously. And you all had your personal code.
Yeah.
So if you set a number and then after the number was like another, like your code, then you would know it was that person trying to reach you.
Oh, so it didn't even say what number it was coming from. You were just getting a random 823?
Yeah. Wait,
no. It would say the number, but like, let's say Rachel was with her boyfriend and I was trying to get a hold of Rachel. I would text 411-419, which would mean I want the information on Rachel.
Mm.
Right? Or 143-419.
It'd be like, I didn't tell have Rachel my pager on me, but my boyfriend had his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Casper also gave me a bunch of question marks back.
Wait, who else can we get?
Who else? Who else?
Did you get Jake a response? Johnson.
No.
Yeah, send it to that group, Jane.
Yeah.
823.
I'm going to text George.
Who else?
That's it. This has gone on way too long.
Okay.
Sorry. No, I'm having such a good time. I was really feeling like we should have some fun today.
Yeah. Jeff said, is this a code?
Oh, see, so he's of age.
Sort of.
It is a code.
We could do trivia.
Trivia?
Yeah.
Raw, I'm going to give it to you with no trivia. I like cocaine straight from Bolivia. Sorry. It's not true. I don't.
In what country?
Stupid. Oh, God. I fail.
Oh.
What?
Oh. In what country did the first Starbucks open outside of North America?
China.
Mm-mm.
Japan.
Mm-hmm. Where were the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and Bill of Rights stored during World War II?
Oh, my God. Oh my gosh,
the Smithsonian?
I knew Rob, but he's so
I want to die. This is like the laundry.
This is the laundry for Olivia.
Yeah.
I play trivia.
Which company's slogan is in you're in good hands?
Where are you getting this trivia?
I don't know, random Folgers.
No. Canada.
With
what country, right? You said?
Johnson & Johnson.
Allstate.
That's oh, it. I thought you said what country's slogan is you're in good hands.
Who was the first televised president?
Hoover.
No, Roosevelt. Pocahontas was baptized and given what English name?
Jane Smith.
I never knew. No. Rebecca. Have you ever heard that before? She wants to die. Yeah.
This makes me want to die.
This is not a good... What other...
Pick I'm
a different,
sorry.
Pick it yeah. from somewhere else, though. Because that's not good trivia.
They do Friends trivia.
What was Golden the original Girls. Purpose of the tiny pocket in jeans?
For your lighter.
No.
The Damn. Extra buttons.
No.
Matches.
Change.
Think about how old Change. Jeans are.
Change.
No. To store pocket watches. Mm. Olivia is...
I don't like this game.
Want to know something interesting about me?
I would love to.
I can be like unsure in the past. Like I even remember being in my 20s and being like this. Like unsure how I'm feeling about like the current person I'm dating, whatever, whatever. I could go to their house and feel so comfortable
mm-hmm.
and like, oh, like I'm in this. You know what I mean? Like just like in their space, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
But then out of their space, I'm like, oh, I don't like you.
Oh.
Does it mean you were only dating them for their house?
She's like, I like their blanket.
Okay,
like
that's them. Great and everything, but can we go to your house?
Wait, so you get to their house and you feel like, okay, I'm in this. But then when you go out into the world, you question it or when they come to your house?
Yeah, like Stockholm Syndrome.
I'm talking about like early 20s, like specifically thinking of a situation. Everywhere else, it was like a hard no.
I kind of know what you mean.
Yeah. So what is that?
Codependency?
I don't think so. You know what I think it is? I think it's judgment. Like when mm-hmm. you're just the two of you in their space, you're free of judgment. But then you go outside of the world, you start questioning them.
Right.
And how they show up in the rest of the world because you're questioning yes. how other people see them.
Yeah. That's Isn't exactly that? What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
Isn't that interesting?
Like even
but those are also the people that like, you know.
But even like their voice or like.
Oh, everything. I'm thinking of someone specific.
I know who you're thinking of.
In my early 20s. No, late teens even.
I know who you're thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, but I always just remember that. And then there's people I'm like, yes, I want you in my house. I want you in my space. I want you in my world.
Are you more comfortable in the beginning going to their space or having them in your space?
Mm.
Good question, right?
Great question because that's always the awkward like. The wake up in the beginning of like everything, you know,
like I feel like it's probably changed for you too.
What do you mean?
Being a single mom.
Oh, it's, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's hard yeah. for you.
I'm speaking generally, like knowing myself and I'm not putting it into like specifics because yes, I'm a single, like obviously people aren't sleeping at my house and I'm not like sleeping out often, but.
But it happens.
But yeah, it's so awkward because it's just, it's the morning breath. It's the like having to like go to the bathroom or morning coffee and you're like stuck at someone's house for like in the beginning of things can be tricky.
So you always prefer your place.
No, I'm just talking about mornings in general in the beginning. I think no matter where you are.
Did you prefer?
Right.
Would you prefer yours or theirs?
Because then you're trapped with them at your place and then they don't leave.
Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen before where like.
Pretty recent, right?
No. Not that recent. Where I had a panic attack, but I think the coffee was too strong.
Mm. Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, oh my God, like I have had something happen once where I was joking. Like, it was like the beginning of dating someone and they had something like really important to go to, like on their way to. And they were like, oh, I can't figure out what this place is. And as a joke, I text my address. Like, oh, it's here. Like being flirty and like cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
And then they came to my house instead of going to the event.
Yeah, but they accidentally?
They knew they were doing that. It was a real power move. It was
but
cute.
Let me tell you, when that happened and I realized they were coming to my house instead of going, I panicked.
Oh, you didn't get ready?
No, I panicked.
She didn't think they were going to actually do
that.
No,
I was just being like cute and flirty and like they were coming to my house. And I was like,
it.
No, I got so nervous because like, oh my God, no, like I don't want them to come here. And then like they're getting dropped off. Like they don't have their car, which means do they think they're sleeping over? And like the whole spiral starts.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, she spirals.
Yeah. Anyway, they did wind up sleeping over. And then in the morning, I had a panic attack.
Because they were still here.
They were still here and it was a lot of caffeine. And they would not stop talking. And they had an anxiety attack. And so like I was like, I just feel really sick. So I had to like go in my bed and like curl up and act like I was. Well, I did feel nauseous from the coffee. But I was having a panic attack. So I was like, I'm really sick.
But then I came over the next day and you made me that same coffee and I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I was
I have the tendency.
She's heavy-handed.
I have the tendency of making like rocket fuel coffee. I have had a few people tell me.
I am unwell.
Yeah. Have you ever thought that maybe that's what fuels your anxiety?
Yes, absolutely.
And
just keep rocking with it.
All right.
I've had someone recently show me a proper dosage. Like
I don't like the proper dosage
water.
Though. It's too weak. Like the way it's supposed
it can
to be made
weak,
is weak,
and that's the problem. But it can't be as strong as I do because that is so intense. But someone did it, and they didn't even measure it, and they were just like doop doop doop, and I was like, oh, that's so much better.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But I can't do it on my own.
You messed me up a few times.
Yeah, I'm sorry. People have told me.
Yeah,
I get this report.
This is serious.
Maybe try reducing. Your caffeine.
After that incident, that one I'm talking about where I had a full-blown panic attack and someone was here and like wouldn't stop talking, I decided to go half-calf for a while.
She didn't get rid of the person. She's just like, let me just take the caffeine down a little bit.
Did that help?
Did that help them stop talking as much?
Never.
I've told you what my mom does.
What?
It's my favorite. Her husband talks a lot. And so she's made a deal with him. You're allowed to talk to me in the morning as much as you want, only while you give me a foot rub. But when the foot rub's over, you have to stop talking.
That's brilliant.
It's pretty good.
It's a good move.
It's really good.
It's a move.
Yeah.
It's a power move.
It's a power move.
So you still haven't answered my question.
What was it?
Would you rather be at their house or your house?
In the beginning, in the mornings?
Yeah. Just in general, at night, in the mornings, in the beginning, like…
I think mine… That's not totally true. I don't know. It depends on who it is.
What if you're stuck at their place and you have…
You hold it and you go home.
You have things to do in the morning after your coffee.
You hold it and you go home or you go somewhere else.
To the gas station.
Do you think they care that much?
No.
They don't care at all.
They don't care at all.
Yeah. So then why do you?
Why do you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have anything to do with this.
What do you mean? In the beginnings of things?
I think I would…
You would.
Wait,
I know
an illusion?
You. Yeah, you would leave.
You think like, there's an illusion that they think that you
don't
poop? Shit?
No, of course everybody
poops. No, but poops. I just don't like it. I would be like…
I like keeping that stuff for me, personally. Like,
sure.
Never going to like…
You keep it?
I understand if you're in a hotel room and like
yeah,
it's very close quarters,
but
you're someone's
lobby.
House and they have more than one bathroom, like you can easily go to
like
the bathroom.
Figure out how to do it.
And
discreetly?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have to, I'm sure. Yes, if you have to.
If you're going
to
like spend the whole day with them. But
yeah, but if you're leaving anyways like within reason.
You're just cutting it short because you don't want to deal with this.
I'm not really a person that has like the emergency where they can't like wait. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like I can wait till
you're always a little bit constipated. That's what you're saying.
Oh my God.
I just don't like it.
Mm-mm.
Any of it.
Well, I know, but if you're acknowledging that they don't care.
They don't care.
Then what is it for you that makes you care so much?
They have like, did. You, but what would you do if they were like,
you'd be like, fuck this person, I'm not going to be with him.
Right.
Do you think they'll be less?
I don't think care about that stuff.
And do you think they'll be less attractive to you if you do it there and they, like you're concerned about smell, you're concerned about them hearing it? What are your concerns?
I don't know. Just knowing like that it's happening is like, it's private. Like I'm never someone that would like toot in front of someone.
Never.
Like a
That's
romantic partner.
That's different though.
Is it?
A little bit.
Is it
bit.
Like in front of?
Yeah, you're going to the bathroom. Why are you doing the bathrooms between you
but
and God?
But then you think about it, it's so weird because you can have like blaring lights and be so vulnerable like
with
your partner.
Yeah.
But like that stuff, you're like, no.
Yeah, because that's not sexy.
Mm-mm.
Like but it's actually like not sexy.
But the door's closed. The door's locked.
I don't like it when they do it either.
Mm-mm.
I'm like,
I'm not saying that. Like,
but
you
I don't
should
care if
stomp
I hear,
around.
If you like walk out of the room and you hear them like let one out, you know, and you hear it, but like they're doing the courtesy of like waiting until you're not in there, but you still hear it. I'm like, oh.
But I'm also not saying like stomp around and announce that you're going to take a dump and like talking
about
it.
What if you stomped
around?
Well,
I know there's people like that are like very open and talking about it and it's couples that are like that. I'm not suggesting that, but. If you're going to another room and like maybe don't be in there for a half hour, but
never half hour.
Why not? I'm saying like there are versions of it that maybe would be weird,
you
but there's
have
also
to do,
versions of it that would be
what's
totally
your
normal.
Experience with it as a guy, like on the other end of it, because girls are so kind of weird and crazy private about it. And I don't feel
not
like,
all girls, but
really? Yeah. I mean, no, I know, obviously not all girls, but
what
like,
they do in the bathroom is between was up, it's
you,
up
so
to
you're
them.
Saying when you first start dating someone and they disappear for a while and you know they're in there going to the bathroom, you're not like, oh, she's in there taking a fucking shit.
I'm not like, this person's disgusting. They've got a bowel movement. And
but what do you think?
They ate food yesterday, and I understand that that's how a body works. And
I know. It is so simple.
Listen.
That is how a body works.
Everyone out there who does care about this, you have to do the instant flush. As soon as it comes out, you flush.
I get being embarrassed or trying to be aware that like you don't want it to smell and you don't want to be
or
like
sound.
Yeah.
You can carry that poo-pourri around.
Sure.
You. The little they have travel size that you
see. But if it's
for.
A guy
weird.
But if it's a
like
guy's
you
know. Bathroom, it's probably already like dirty and smelly. Like you're not making it any worse.
You guys are disgusting. I live with so many men.
Yeah.
Like and boys. And I cannot tell you. How gross the toilet is. Oh. It's really gross. Now,
I don't like it when the toilet seat is left up.
I don't either. How do you feel about a guy sitting to pee so that they don't get pee all over the place?
Are you saying you make Jeff sit to pee
no,
so he doesn't
I'm not
pee all over
that.
The place?
But
maybe.
But what if I could? Like, why am I teaching my children to stand up and pee? All over the toilet seat and the floor and
well,
the this and the that. Why can't they just
they
sit down and pee?
Well, you're already
you just hold your penis down.
But you're already afraid to sit on a toilet in public bathrooms. You're hovering.
Yeah, I don't.
So if you could stand and never have to have your butt touch a toilet and pee, you wouldn't.
But what about in your own home?
Sure.
Like,
they can
do they have to stand and pee all over the walls? Like, is that a thing?
No, I mean, I have to. I don't pee all over my walls.
Because I heard in certain circles that it's more respectful for a man to sit on the toilet and pee so you're not peeing all over the place than it is to stand and pee.
In certain circles? What does that mean?
There's certain circles where a bunch of men live together and when these men live together, they are like, you sit on the fucking toilet. You don't stand up and piss. Those kind of circles.
Sure. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Would you think it's weird if you walked in and your dude was sitting down to pee?
I've seen a dude do that before.
You have?
Yeah.
Why?
He probably had to poop after.
How do you know when it's an appropriate time to sit and pee or stand and pee? Like, what if you're standing and peeing and then you're like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Then you turn around and sit down. Why not just start in one place?
You know, I mean, you know, when you go to the bathroom, you know if you're going one or two.
You do?
Yeah. Do you not? You're sitting down and you're like, I'm... Also, like, your body can only, like, do one or the other. My body, at least, can only do one or the other.
It can't go at the same time?
Not, like, the exact same time.
Huh. I don't know.
You've never had to, like, fart while you're peeing?
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Next time you have to fart, go sit down and start to pee. And see if you can fart while
I don't still. Fart.
All right. You let me know.
Do you fart?
What are you guys? You don't.
You don't.
We didn't do a question
toot.
Yet.
You do not.
All right. Here we go. Advice on waiting till marriage.
Don't do it.
This is a 19-year-old male and a female. Hey guys, my boyfriend is Catholic and I'm not. We're in love, everything is great, but he was raised religious and thinks that sex should totally wait until marriage. And while I'm not opposed to the idea, I have only heard complaints and regrets from people, especially women that have waited until marriage, saying that you need to check if you and your partner are sexually compatible. Have you and your partner had any discussions like that? Did you wait until marriage? And do you have any regrets or advice?
I think it would be important to me if I was going to marry someone to experience intimacy with that person prior.
I agree.
You do?
100%.
Oh, so you would never marry someone unless you boned them?
Yes, correct.
Oh.
I'm not even talking about, I'm just saying like.
Any form of intimacy.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure.
As long as you're exploring together things, so not everything is a surprise. Like once you're married, now you're getting to know that person like physically, because sometimes that's not compatible.
Right. Like in intimacy with a relationship, just penetration. Rachel said that.
It's his favorite word.
Favorite word.
Drink penetration every time you hear Rob say
penetration.
Penetration. Penetration's only a portion of your sexual relationship with someone. Like.
I agree.
It's a segment of it. I mean, it's a maybe a high percentage of it, but not the only and not the only important piece either.
Yeah, I think that your compatibility is a lot wider than just that.
Yeah.
And that you probably would know.
Well, like I some think I would like marry some someone. People wouldn't be able to orgasm from penetration, so they're doing it other ways.
Yeah, but I think that that's most of their something life. If you love someone and you're compatible in all these ways, like I think that that's part of the journey is like if you guys have to figure that out together, you have to figure it out together. You're going to have to figure out a lot together if you marry someone. So,
and there's maybe something fun about saving that piece for marriage.
I wouldn't be against it. Like I personally already had a child with my husband before we got married, but I wouldn't, like, if I met the love of my life and he was like, I'm really, like, this is something that really matters
to
me.
Yeah, I'd respect that.
I would respect it. I wouldn't be like, you must fuck me.
But also you wouldn't, like, we can't do anything. Like, we can only kiss.
Well, that's chemistry and you can know things just by kissing someone.
So you'd marry someone if you
had. Sight unseen?
Yeah, just kissing.
I'd have
and the whole emotional relationship.
This bitch would go on Love is Blind. You would. She would be like, yes. Have you ever, here's a question. Have you ever thought you really liked someone and then hooked up with them and was like, oh, that's not there?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fair enough. You can not have chemistry with someone.
For sure. That's happened
to
me.
And that squashes.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever happened to
me. That's so interesting.
Like, I'm just trying to think back of
Like you can get into it no matter what.
I don't know if I've ever like hooked up with someone that there
that
was like.
Sounded rough.
I'm just trying to think. I'm beyond.
Well, there hasn't been times where you're just like doing it to do it, but you're not like into it. Because that's kind of what you're saying, essentially, right?
No, she's saying the opposite. She's saying she's always into it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't know if I've ever thought I liked someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh,
and then that was
I like this
factor.
Person and then hooked up with them and been like, ooh, never mind, that's not there. I don't think that's ever happened.
Must be nice.
I mean, I don't understand what's
I guess what the difference for me is like the people I'm thinking about. That I hooked up, I didn't actually like.
That, maybe that's the difference.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is like, I've never thought like I like this person.
Yeah.
Well, and then hook up with them and be like, oh no, I don't.
So you, do you not think you can be emotionally compatible with someone and not sexually compatible with someone?
No, I think you can definitely be sexually compatible with someone you are not emotionally compatible with.
It's happened the opposite with you that you've,
Yes.
Okay.
That has happened where it's like, oh, I don't like you.
But you were good at this.
But that is, there is compatibility there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had it where I thought I liked someone and then was like, I don't know. I feel like if you think you like someone, there's usually some sort of draw there, you know? But you guys are saying you have had that.
Well, I just said
that it's usually people that I didn't really like, but that I just wound up hooking up with were the ones where I was like unsure.
Yeah, that's different. So, if you're going to get to the point where you marry someone, you usually think you're going to, you like them or love them, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess, for you, have you liked someone? You didn't really answer the question then if you are saying you didn't like those people. Is there a situation where you like someone a lot, you thought there was something there, and then you got intimate with them and then it killed it?
I think I like them because the chemistry's there and that translates into...
See?
Yeah.
Samesies, where that's...
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But you're saying that has happened to you, where you thought you liked someone and then you hook up and you're like, oh, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
That is interesting.
You just weren't feeling.
I'm trying to go in my mind.
Just think of, have you had bad sex before with someone that you liked? Someone not good at sex.
Hold on. I mean, sure. But like, did I like them?
Yeah, you were able, got over their performance because you liked them enough.
I don't think I've ever had bad sex.
I've written some funny stories over sexual experiences. So
I don't know what's wrong with me.
I think you could have been entering
picky
sex in a way like that you needed, but you've also just fooled around and had one night stands. And
I've only had one night stand in my life, and it was very intentional. You know what I mean?
Anytime I've attempted a one night stand, like they still text me to this day.
That's what I'm saying. I only had one proper one where the guy was from Italy. Never saw him again. Oh.
Part of that is maybe expectations, though. Like you knew going into that was.
I can remember one experience. Like you're at. Like I could think. Like that wasn't good.
Mm.
That was not pleasant.
Do tell.
But was it a one-off, or did you try it again? Being like, we'll see.
I think I tried it again, but then we didn't wind up actually like having sex, but maybe hooking up again.
Okay.
My memory's a little iffy, but I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Someone like you.
I know.
To have a bad memory, not to.
But I was like younger, you know, it was like.
I'm just so curious. I have so many questions. Like what makes it bad?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What makes it bad? But like also, I think to your point, like I don't think that I typically was drawn to do that with people that there wasn't some sort of chemistry with, you know? Mm-hmm. I wasn't just like, hey, you.
Take a walk on the wild side.
Yeah.
Do.
All right.
You covered a lot.
So much. Do you fart?
No, it's my chair. Thanks, guys. This was really
good.
Educational.
This is a good one.
Love you.
Thanks for being in there.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.